this historic 150th Kidman Talk podcast. This is Carl Bastian, your host, coming to you from Kidology.org. And as always, I'm delighted that you are spending a little time with me here today, whether it's YouTube or Facebook or iTunes. I'm so glad that you are here. Our mission is to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry, and Kidman Talk is a big part of that. We'll be wrapping up our three-part series on a Kidman Christmas Carol, and you'll be visited today by the final ghost. Today is sponsored by the Kidology Leadership Labs, and I'm going to have a really amazing super mega deal for you, which I will mention during the podcast. So if you'd like to start the new year out with some fantastic resources to help you lay a great foundation for your ministry and even evaluate and plan for this next year, I'll have all that for you. It's a great dynamite resource, and I'm excited to tell you a little bit more about it and make it available to you at a substantial savings, not promoted anywhere else except just in this here podcast episode 150. So sit back, relax, and let's enjoy some time together talking Kidman. All right, well, we've talked about the ghost of Kidman past. We've talked about the ghost of Kidman present. And today we're going to wrap up our series. My favorite one in the movie. It's the scariest one. I should have worn a big dark cloak and had a long pointy finger. But we're not going to get scary here. But we're going to talk about the ghost of your Kidman future, all right? Well, before we do that, I just want to tell you a little bit about the Kidology Leadership Labs, and I want to make it available to you super affordable just for those who watch this podcast. It won't be in the description. It won't be in our newsletter, social media, anywhere else. This is a gift just for you. I want to give it to you for a full 50% off. That will work whether you're a starter member, whether you're an all-access member. And you know what? I was supposed to make up a code ahead of time, so here I am recording. I think we're just going to have to put in the word future 50, and I have to make count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's exactly 8 characters. That's what I have to be in. So the ghost of Christmas future. So just the word future with the 50 on the end. That'll give you 50% off the Kidology Leadership Lab bundle. Now, if you're not familiar with the Kidology Leadership Lab, it's called the Kidology Handbook Leadership Edition because the Kidology Handbook Teacher's Edition is for equipping you as a teacher. And so many of you have that resource. It's been revised and updated a couple of times. You know what it is. But the Leadership Labs are different. They are designed for you as a leader. And they have a twofold goal because first, they're designed for you to equip and invest in you, but then there's also PowerPoint and handouts so that you can actually take them and use them with your leadership team to equip them. They've got some videos in them. I'm a lot younger in those videos, but the content and the material in them is as relevant today as they were when I filmed them probably going on 10 years ago. The first one is called First Things First. It is a powerful leadership lab on taking care of yourself. It would be a great one to go through at the beginning of a new year. The second one we're going to touch on today, I'm going to share a little bit from that one, and it is on visionary leadership. But it's more than just talking about vision. It goes into vision and mission and goals and what the difference of each is, but it actually has the worksheets and the process you need to lead a leadership team through a vision casting process to defining a mission statement and a vision statement for your ministry and why, how those are different from each other. So it's very, very practical. The third leadership lab is on kid-focused ministry foundations. If you want to have a ministry that's attractive to kids and therefore attractive to parents, what are those principles that need to be in place and true in your ministry, so that your ministry is not only a kid magnet, but it's leading kids to Christ and laying a spiritual foundation for them that will guide them for the rest of their life. That is the kid-focused ministry foundations. Number four is a very unique one. I'm partnering with parents. It's a very different and unique approach to partnering with parents. Many churches have adapted this. It is a negotiated partnership with parents, and you'll find it quite fascinating. Many take the concepts there and they adapt them and tweak them to their ministry. But instead of partnering with parents being something that you just kind of vaguely do, it's an intentional approach to doing it, and you'll find that fascinating. The last one is the one you may want to actually skip to. Maybe do one and five and then do the other three, is the define, refine, and shine. And it is a process I go through every year as I reach the end of the year and I want to evaluate the year, what went well, what could do better. And so you're defining your purpose and goals and objectives. You're refining, you know, how you're going to change, what you're going to do differently in the future. And then, of course, shine is you want to do a great job in your ministry. So I want to make all five of these. There's a video with each. There's a PDF downloads. There's bonus content, PowerPoints, all kinds of stuff. So just remember that discount code that I wrote down, FUTURE50, and that's only going to be good through the end of December. I'll make it expire on December 31st at Y3K. Or we're not the Y3K, are we yet? Okay, we were so worried about Y2K that I'm kind of stressed about Y3K because I know it's zooming up on us, and I just want to make sure my computer and everything's ready for Y3K. But I don't think Y3K is quite here yet, but I'm still stockpiling food and getting ready for it. So let's talk about the ghost of Christmas future. All right. So you thought you went back to bed. You've been visited by the other two ghosts. You've dealt with the past. You're excited about living in the present. But now you want to deal with the future. And I got to tell you, I love vision. I love the future. I love dreaming and thinking about where I want to go and what I want to do. And, you know, I have this T-shirt that I love. It's a Calvin and Hobbes. I've had it for years. I joke that to my wife that I want to be buried in it. I don't know that she'll do it, and I won't be around to make her do it. But I love it because it's a Calvin and Hobbes T-shirt that says, "God placed me on this earth to accomplish a set number of things. Right now, I'm so far behind, I'll never die." Because that's how I feel. I have so many ideas and so many things I want to do that if I were to accomplish them all, I would be immortal. But the reality is, as I mentioned two podcasts ago, if I'm still here, God's not done. So as long as I'm here, God's got more for me to do. And when I'm not here, well, then my purpose in life is done. And all those ideas, well, someone else will just have to do them. And all those files and things I have, the projects, well, I don't know, maybe my wife will finish all those projects. Oh, God bless her. But there's a reason that we're doing this podcast third. See, one of the maturing things I had to learn as I matured as a Christian and as a husband and as a dad and as a leader was that I was always about the future. And I had to learn to live in the present. And so if you haven't listened to the last podcast, go back, listen to that one. It's a prerequisite to dealing with the future. If you're not living in the present, you're not ready to live in the future. But if you're living in the present and you're doing it with boundary and you're doing it in a healthy way, and you're no longer making time for your family, if you want to know what that means, you got to go back, then you're ready to talk about the future, right? More Abe Lincoln quotes for you. We got a series in this series of Abe Lincoln quotes. Abe said, "The best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time." You know, I want a catapult. I want to leap to the future. But the reality is the future comes steady. And we have time to be thoughtful about it. We have time to be intentional and proactive and to set out goals and to do them systematically and carefully. All right. And vision is what the living in the future is all about. We all know that Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there's no vision, the people perish," right? When you have vision, it gets people excited. Without vision, then people are just fulfilling roles. I mean, in your ministry, if you don't have vision, if you're not excited about something, you're going to find that enthusiasm in the ranks is going to weaken. People are going to not show up. People are not going to volunteer. People are not going to want to be a part of what's going on, because it's vision that gets people excited. And without it, things will start to deteriorate. Where there is vision, in the midst of problems, financial hardship, facility frustrations, personnel frustrations, change, doesn't matter what's going on, if there's vision, people will push through all of that because there's momentum and they know where they're going. If they don't know where they're going, then they will focus on all that stuff. They'll get discouraged, they'll complain, they'll whine, and you'll get discouraged. There won't be joy in the ministry. Momentum is so powerful. You know, I had a pastor once who used this object lesson. He said, if you put a penny on a railroad track and a train's in front of it, the train will struggle to get going because that penny will cause a problem. But you put a boulder on the tracks and that train's already got momentum, it will smash through that boulder. And that's the way it is in ministry. The littlest thing can hold us down if we don't have momentum, if we're not heading towards something. But if we are, then we'll smash through the obstacles and the challenges. And some of them we won't even notice. We'll just hear some noise and go, you know, what was that? All right. So we have to have vision. And it's got to be clear. I love that Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner can read it. All right. You know, that's a good justification for putting your banner, your vision up on the wall, the kids ministry, and painting it really big. And your pastor says, why are you making that so big? Say, because Habakkuk said to. He said to make it so big that a runner could see it. All right. I love that. But it's so clear that we've got to make the vision clear. It needs to be written. It needs to be clear. And it needs to be communicated. All right. I've shared the story many times in the master classes and coaching. And maybe it's even made it into a podcast. But it's a story about, you know, a guy who's has a regular drive down the road and he sees this barn off to the side every day. And there's all these targets on the side of the barn. And in the middle of every target, there's an arrow smack dab in the middle. And he's like, man, the guy that lives there has got to be an incredible archer. So one day, his little extra time, he stops and he goes up and rings the doorbell. And the farmer comes out and he says, sorry to bother you, but I've just been driving by every day admiring your barn. I wonder if you could give me a little demonstration of your skill. And he says, oh, I'd happy to. So he grabs his bow and arrow and he heads out to the barn, and the fellow's kind of looking for the target, and the farmer just picks up the arrow, just shoots it, and doing goes and sticks in the side of the barn. And then the farmer walks up there and he down in the weeds there's a bucket of paint, and he opens it up, gets his paintbrush out, and he paints a target around the arrow. So that was how he had all those perfect targets. Well, sadly, that seems to be how a lot of kids' ministries are run. People are just shooting arrows, and then, oh, yeah, I meant to do that. Oh, yeah, I meant to do that. And sometimes, you know, things turn out all right, but other times you're like, why in the world did you do that? There's an old saying, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it, right? Or maybe you've heard it this way, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So it is so important that we have vision, all right? Vision empowers your ministry. It excites your volunteers. Vision unifies people. Vision rallies people. And vision motivates people. So I just want to briefly go through one part of the Leadership Lab on visionary leadership. It's an acronym. I love acronyms, all right? I even made up an acronym for acronym, right? You've heard it before. A crazy riddle of nuggets yielding meaning. So let's look at the word vision. I'm going to fly through these really quick. The V reminds us to visualize the finished product. All right, what will it look like when you are done? Now you're like, I'm never done, man. I got new stuff every week. But you know, there's going to be a time when you are done. Not only done with your life, but done in your present ministry. What do you want to leave behind? Or in your present project, whether it's Vacation Bible School or whether it's an outreach program or it's some kind of an event, what will it look like? You visualize it, all right? And then you define it, all right? you know, instead of just getting on the treadmill and going, 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 you say, how will I know when I'm done? Now, there are leaders who fulfill their vision and they get into a stage of managing it. And I know because I've had friends who've called me and said, Carl, I either need a fresh vision for this ministry or I need to move on to something else because I have accomplished the entire vision that God gave me here at this church. And then I see it happen. God gives them a fresh vision for a way to reach the community or to launch something new, or they end up going into a new ministry where everything's a mess and in shambles, and they just do it all over again. But vision visualizes the finished product. All right? The eye reminds us to imagine the possibilities. Think about your ministry where you are at. And you have to intentionally push away all the but if. No hindrances, no obstacles. Don't worry about money or staffing or facility, because that's all stuff God can take care of, all right? Don't limit God in your imagination. And ask yourself some questions. Ask yourself, what should be done in this ministry? What could be done in this ministry? What would I do if I had no limitations, right? Avoid the woulda, coulda, shoulda, but didn't syndrome. And imagine, start sketching it out. Start dreaming about it and watch what God will do. All right, the S is to see it through others' eyes. Sometimes we need to get out of our own eyes and we need to ask someone else to help us or just do it ourselves through our creativity. All right, remember your first impressions when you first came to the church you're at. What did you like? What did you not like? What were some things you said, oh, I definitely got to change that, and then you never did, all right? Or say you get fired, called home, whatever it is, what new person coming to your church and looking at your ministry, this is kind of fun to do because it's safe if you don't tell anybody. What would someone coming in and observing your ministry, what would they be critical of? What would they say, that's definitely got to be changed? Now, you might know what those are. If you have no clue, then ask some people. I've got a good friend, Pastor Todd McKeever. He's a coach, and he actually has a document he sends out to people who visit his church, and it's quite involved, and it's a ton of questions. What did we do well? What could we do better? How were you greeted? What were your impressions of this, that, and the other? And you can provide something like that that you give people so that you can see your ministry through other eyes. Sometimes we get blind to things. I remember years ago in high school, my dad walked around the building with the deacons and said, I want us all to look at the church with new eyes. And there was a whole side of the church with black, ugly streaks coming down the brickwork. And it was moldy. I don't know if it was moldy, but it was just this disgusting black streaks. And it was from the rain. The gutters were full. And my dad pointed out, and all the deacons said, we've never seen that before. And this was the part of the building that faced the big intersection. So anyone new to the community looking for a church and looking at our church, that's what they saw. An ugly building that was not kept up. Now, in our defense, I mean, I was in high school, so I'm off the hook. Everyone entered through the other side of the building. Everyone came in through the parking lot side. This was like just the pretty back of the building. It had a big stained glass cross. No, I mean, I think the guy that mowed was the only guy who ever went over there. But what my dad was trying to help them do is see the ministry through new eyes. You know, I did this years ago at one of my churches. I'd been there 5 years, and I decided to literally, and you should do this, walk through my church and look at everything as though I had just been hired. I gave the challenge on Kidology and thought, you know, I need to do that myself. And I was laughing because there was a place in our kids' ministry where there were stairs going upstairs, and there was a big board with a locked key, a glass door with those little letters that you put in. And I assumed that everything in that board was for upstairs. It was adult classroom. So I never had read it. In 5 years, I'd never read it. And I finally read it, and it gave all the numbers to all the children's classrooms and which age groups met in each classroom, and it was all wrong. Because in 5 years, I had changed all that. So here I had incorrect instructions, incorrect room numbers, incorrect teachers' names, incorrect ages. It was completely bad. So visitors coming to our church would come down the stairs and turn. They would look at this and go, oh, okay, second grade boys are in here. They'd go down there and it'd be third grade girls or something. And I never saw it. And then we couldn't find a key. We had to get a key made. It was ridiculous. We finally got rid of it. But I was laughing, but I also was embarrassed. But, you know, no one else had seen it. Certainly somebody could have showed me that in my defense. Nobody saw it. We get blind to those things. All right, number I, innovate, improvise, invent. All right, you've got to be creative. You've got to be willing to be bold. Be a little crazy if you want to be. I remember in one church, we had a big club during the week, and there was a horrible building because we had bought a YMCA center and it converted to a church. And where our kids met on Wednesday nights, pick up with parents, was this crowded hallway, and it was terrible. And I was like, you know what? I invented, and I guess I found other churches have done this. I thought I invented it. But I said, we're going to do valet pickup for the kids. So we got a bunch of teenagers. Parents came in with their tag. We took the tag, ran and got the kids, valeted the kids back, and we created a valet pickup service. Parents loved it. We were able to dismiss over 200 kids in 10 to 12, 15 minutes, whereas it used to take 45 minutes. It just took some innovating. It took a willingness to try something different. Don't settle for what's always been done or for what others are doing. Look at the end and say, how can we get there? What do we have to do to get there? And sometimes it's something really easy. Sometimes it's something crazy. I remember coaching a children's pastor and visiting her church, and she was explaining the congestion they had in similar situation in her kids' church room. And I noticed that there was another door at the other end of the room. And I said, well, why don't you use that door? Well, we just always use this door. I said, well, how about you have a drop-off door and a pickup door, and you'll have a flow of kids? And she was so embarrassed because she was like, oh, my goodness, that is so simple. And I said, don't feel bad. This is not my church. So I see the door. This is your church, and this is just how you always do it. We get blind to these things. We've got to be willing to innovate and to do things differently. All right, and that leads us right into the letter O. Open your eyes to the possibilities. All right, break from the routine. Routines can be good, but sometimes they just need to be broken. And never say, we're going to do it a new way. Just say, we're going to try something new. That way, if it totally bombs, you can go back to the way it was before. But open your eyes. Try something new. All right? Just call it an experiment. Say, we're going to experiment with this, and it'll work. All right? Get away for prayer and reflection. God will give you ideas that you know could only be from Him. And sometimes that's what vision is. It's saying, God, help me to see a possibility that I am completely blinded to. And I love the letter N. The letter N is never say never. As soon as you catch yourself, well, we can never do that. And then you start to give a reason. Don't do that. Take every idea to your leadership team, to your friends, to your pastoral staff, and beat them around and make them hard to kill. Some things you just can't do, all right? But what will happen is, and you know this from brainstorming and synergy, the idea you bring that can't be done, it will lead to something that can be done. And that thing that can be done, you would have never got there if you hadn't started here, all right? Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That's in Matthew 19:26. Let me read you another one. In Mark 10:27, it says, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Same verse. Why did God put that in the Bible twice? Maybe He was worried that we were going to miss it the first time. Nothing is impossible. Believe it. If it doesn't happen, it's only because it isn't God's vision. But you have to believe that anything is possible, and then ask God what it is He wants you to do, and what does He want to do through you and through your ministry. Because I tell you what, I've always loved saying, I would rather dream too big and have God go, "Woo, chill out, Carl," than to be content with little and have God say, there's so much more I would love to do if you would just be willing to see it and just be willing to dream. So here's the big question. The ghost of your Kidman future's there, and he's got his long bony finger and he's pointing. What is he pointing at? Here's the question. What do you see that no one else can see? See, that's the job of a leader. Last week we talked about management, but as a children's ministry leader, you're in a very unique role because you're both the manager of the ministry. And that's why I've got that whole series of management videos that you can go through, but you're also a leader. And a leader's job is to see what no one else sees. You have to be able to visualize it. You know, I love this story of Walt Disney. And one time he was sitting on what would become the property of Disney World. And he was sitting there, it might have been Disneyland, because the story about the Matterhorn. And he was sitting there looking, and someone said, what are you looking at? There was nothing there. He said, I'm looking at a big white mountain. It's going to be called the Matterhorn. And he began to describe this roller coaster ride. And he saw it before it ever existed. Well, he passed away before that Matterhorn ever got built. And I think the Matterhorn's only at Disneyland in California. You Disney experts, you know, you'll let me know where I'm wrong. But at his funeral, his wife came up and, or someone else came up and told the story at his funeral and how he was a man of vision and he saw things that didn't exist that no one else could see. And then they came to happen. And he lamented that Walt Disney never got to see the Matterhorn. Well, when his widow came up, she very graciously thanked him, but she corrected. She said, I need to correct you on one thing. Walt did see the Matterhorn. He saw it in his mind. Sometimes our vision doesn't fully come true in our time at a church, maybe even in our lifetime. But God wants to use us to see what doesn't exist. Look at your community. Look at your church. Look at your neighborhood. And ask the Holy Spirit to give you a vision for something that no one else sees. And then you begin to share that vision. And you don't share it in an arrogant way. God gave me that. You can say, hey, I've got this idea. I think it might be from God. I don't know if it is. He's going to bring about what we need. If it isn't, he'll use this to guide us toward what it is. But what do you think? What if? Use what if statements and you will inspire the people around you. All right? That is your job. Abraham Lincoln, I'll give you another quote for him, our last Abraham Lincoln quote from this series. He said, the best way to predict the future is to create it. All right, you've been visited by three ghosts. You've been visited by the ghost of the Christmas past. Don't let the good, the bad, or the ugly keep you from the future. Like Paul said, forgetting what's behind, press on toward what's ahead. And in the present, the ghost of the Christmas present, be where you are. Remember, be a human being, not a human doing. Embrace where God has you right now, and then open your eyes to the possibilities. Because the ghost of the Christmas future, and we know which ghost it is, right? It's the Holy Ghost. He's got a vision. He wants to do it through you, but he can only do it if you're willing to see it. Hey, have a great new year. I'll see you in January.